Brexit is delayed, but just as uncertain as ever. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. EU leaders on Thursday agreed to delay the March 29th deadline for Brexit with a catch, actually several catches. If the British Parliament can approve a plan for Brexit, which so far it's failed to do twice, then the EU will give Britain an extra 2 months. If the Parliament can't approve a plan, the EU says it's only giving an extra 2 weeks. And if that sounds like a lot to keep track of, that is because it is. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, joins us from Brussels to talk about what all these ifs mean for the UK economy. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri.
So businesses were going to finally get an answer to all their Brexit questions one way or another 1 week from today, and now they're not. That's been pushed back by some period of time that we don't know what it is. What's the effect of all this uncertainty?
I was speaking to food and drinks manufacturers, exporters here in Europe, and they were saying, you know, already the damage is substantial in terms of, you know, they've had to look for new suppliers if they source from Britain. They are often only fulfilling contracts at the moment week to week because they're so unsure of what kind of tariffs or restrictions or border delays are going to come in.
Is this uncertainty, is this economic damage caused by uncertainty? Is that done or will it be undone if we ever get a plan?
If this leaving process has been so damaging to trust, what happens when the two sides eventually sit down and try to work out their future trade deals? And remember, that's a long process. It's going to cover, you know, every single sector, and it's going to set the trading relationship between the two sides.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, thanks very much.
Thanks, Sabri.
Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order calling for more protection of free speech on college campuses. But that order also has plans for the government to publish data on how university graduates do financially. It's broken down by school and degree program. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Department of Education already provides some information about student debt and repayment obligations. Elaine Rubin at Advisors says President Trump's order calls for
more information, more transparency. Students, if they were able to get jobs after, how much loan debt do they have? How much are they earning?
So someone considering a degree in education from the University of Michigan, for instance, could find out how previous education grads are doing. Beth Akers at the Free Market-Oriented Manhattan Institute says advocates of liberal arts degrees will likely push back.
It certainly may be the case that these programs are providing value not measurable in financial terms, but it's also the case that we have a system that puts the burden on students.
The Obama administration required only career training schools, mostly for-profits, to provide this information. President Trump's plan extends that to all schools where students use federal student loans. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 4-5% range, with the Dow future down 126 points.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Opioids kill almost 50,000 people a year, making it the worst drug overdose epidemic our country has ever faced. For the past year, the team behind Marketplace's podcast, The Uncertain Hour, has been investigating the opioid crisis and how it might end. The season begins by taking a look back at the war on crack in the 1980s, the people caught up in it, and how it helps us understand today's epidemic. Chrissy Clark is the host of The Uncertain Hour and joins us. Hi, Chrissy.
Thanks, Sabri.
So why did it make sense to start with the crack epidemic for this season?
To really understand the successes and failures of how we've handled opioids so far, you kind of need to go back 30 years to when we waged war on this very different drug, crack. And yet you don't hear a lot about whatever happened to that drug crisis. And so I started wondering, what did ever happen to crack? How do drug epidemics ever end? And so we start with this historical look at the rise and fall of the crack epidemic and then turn to what it can tell us about where we are and where we should be going to help reduce the harm of the opioid crisis today.
You know, I never thought about it, but you're right. It's not like there was some big announcement that, hey, we're done with crack now. So what did you find out about how the crack epidemic actually ended, if we can say it ended?
Right. And it's not like crack has entirely disappeared. There are some people who are still painfully struggling with addiction. But the national rates of crack use and abuse are much lower now than at their peak in the 1980s. And people who've spent decades studying this say it's mostly because crack pretty quickly developed a stigma for being a very intense drug that could do a lot of damage to people's lives. And so that scared away a lot of potential new users. I talked to a lot of people who grew up in communities surrounded by crack, and so many of them told me something along the lines of what David Magruder, who grew up in Washington, D.C., told me.
I never personally used crack. I always knew what it could do, and that was enough to deter me for a lifetime. I'm never doing that.
And in my research, I found that rates of new crack users were actually already going down by the late 80s, even as the war on crack was still revving up.
So bring this all home for us. What have we learned and what does this tell us about opioids today?
Well, the opioid crisis has been met with a less punitive approach, more oriented toward treatment rather than locking people up. And so maybe we've learned some lessons as a country around what happened with crack. But people who lived closest to the crack epidemic, many who are people of color, they have mixed feelings about that. Like, I'm glad we're figuring this out, but why wasn't that the approach 30 years ago with crack? And they also point out, even though the current opioid epidemic has more talk of addiction being a disease and not a moral failing, they say unless we put serious investment into treatment options and reforming the criminal justice system, then those lessons that were so hard learned from the crack epidemic might go to waste.
Uncertain Hour host and senior correspondent Chrissy Clark, thanks so much for coming in to speak with us.
Thank you so much, Sabri.
The new season of the podcast, The Uncertain Hour, is out now. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. And I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.